Good morning. Welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We have a full house here today. Everybody is back from various vacations and business trips. Michelle, editor of Supplier Global Resource, you were just in the UK. What were you doing there?
I was there for the Sourcing City show in Farnborough, London, in England. It was great.
Very nice.
And I understand ASI CEO Tim Andrews spoke. What did he talk about?
He did. He's, you know, as people know, we are in a partnership called Promo Alliance with Sourcing City and PSI. And Tim was the VIP guest, and he spoke twice. He did the opening keynote address, and he did the dinner address, and he was great. He spoke about the U.S. market, and it's interesting that people in the U.K., their market is about 1.2 billion U.S., estimated for 2012. So it's smaller than ours, but they're just fascinated by our market. A comment I heard a lot was that people in the U.S. Value their promotional gifts more than they do in the U.K. So they're fascinated by how to kind of reach markets the way that we do and how to kind of tantalize buyers the way that we do in the U.S. So they were just thrilled to have us there.
When you say value, you mean that the people who receive items just don't really care about them? Is that the problem?
Yeah, that they seem to think of them more as like special, like, oh, thank you so much for this pen here in the U.S. than in maybe the U.K. They're just like, oh, a pen.
Well, I will say that I was in London also last month conducting the Advertising Specialties and Precious Study, and we asked people about the products that they held on to, and they really only want quality things that work. So they said, yes, they'll keep a pen if it's designed well and if it works. And obviously
that makes sense.
Yeah, but they will. They'll keep on to it. They'll hold on to things forever if they like it.
There is the big difference between Europe and the U.S. They put such an emphasis on quality and design.
Yeah, in France, too, design, very big. Bag design, they'll only keep a bag if it's designed well, but then they'll take it everywhere and keep it forever.
Sure.
Andy Cohn, were nowhere.
No.
You were right here.
Nowhere, man.
In the studios. What's the hot news?
I was here.
What's the hot news?
Holding down the fort.
In Counselor magazine these days.
Well, we just came out with the pen issue. The October issue is the writing instrument issue, so check that out online right now or in print on your desk. Is it on your desk?
It is, of course.
Oh, okay, good.
Kathy Houston, you were in the Dominican Republic last week on vacation. Mm-hmm. What was the highlight?
What wasn't?
Is it nice there? I've never been.
It was beautiful.
Did you engage in any water sports?
No. I engaged in other things, though.
Okay, good. We'll leave it at that.
Let's move on.
Joe Haley is here.
I am.
Joe Haley's everyone's favorite managing editor.
Thank you.
What's on your mind today, Joe?
I've got issues with soccer.
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay, we're going to go right.
Coach. First time I did on 24 years of coaching.
Okay.
I won't repeat it here, but.
No, we want to know.
Obviously, he dropped his pants. Mina is here running the tech booth. She's going to play some lovely sound effects for us this morning. Da-da-da-da. And Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your calls at 215-953-4979. Today's call-in question. How can I make money by selling into the nonprofit market? Very lucrative market, isn't Andy Cohn? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
So if you have any ideas on how
Breast
to sell...
Breast Cancer Awareness Month just started, too.
It is. Mm-hmm. Started yesterday. Any ideas on how to sell to that market or any questions about selling to nonprofits, give us a call, 215-953-4979. Joe, if we put you on the air today, what special prizes are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card. But in addition, you are going to get the very popular, very much sought after ASI radio host finger puppets.
These have gone viral.
I got to tell you, they were the hottest thing in England. I brought them with me, and people were trading them like cards. Like,
I heard mine was highly sought after.
Yeah, he's the big.
People were like,
fan club
I have an Andy and a Kathy, but I need a Michelle and a Melinda.
No, you don't.
I think Supergirl is popular.
Andy, I saw a picture of you doing something not so nice to me and Melinda's puppets.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Oh, my God. Okay. What brand names do Obama and Romney remind voters of? Kathy has a look at that. We also have the top mistakes when using social media, 14 ways to get insanely motivated, 5 sales myths to get over right now, 8 core beliefs of extraordinary bosses, and we have some other things on our mind. Plus, we have our favorite products today. But let's start it all off with the industry news. 1 minute, Andy.
All right, Joe, thank you. We begin this morning with the industry's take on the presidential election. A new survey of ASI members shows that 57% of ad specialty professionals support Mitt Romney, while President Obama wins a support of 39% of respondents. Distributors favor Romney by a 22% margin, while suppliers back Obama by a narrow margin of 5%. See more info on the exclusive survey online now at asicentral.com. On to top 40 financial news now. Supplier firm Ennis set its sales for the six-month period ended August 31. Increased 3%, rising to a total of $281 million. Print revenues were up year over year by 27%, but apparel sales slipped by 22%. Marketing news now. The FTC has issued new guidelines governing how companies can market green products. The new guidelines caution marketers not to make claims that a product is environmentally friendly or eco-friendly because the FTC says such claims are too broad and often misleading. Check out Promogram today for details. Plus, wondering how to succeed with Twitter? Join Counselors Editors today for a live online chat. 2 p.m. today, go to asicentral.com/counselorchat and ask our experts any question you want about how to get the most out of your Twitter time. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
The Slingshot Tripod.
The Slingshot Tripod.
Yeah, it sounds like a Karnak answer, doesn't it? But
sounds like a carnival game.
It's also my favorite product today, so you can see it twice.
Well, great. All right. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you, Andy Cohn. We have Leighton Lee from the ETS Express on the phone. He's going to give us another product safety minute. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, all. How are you?
We are great.
Good.
What are you going to tell us this morning about product safety?
Well, first of all, I'm looking forward to receiving my finger puppet because I haven't seen it yet. So
we'll send those
to
you
today. You all know where I live, so if you could send me one, I'd love to have one.
You got it.
Thank you. Anyways, this morning, Product Safety Minute is about phthalates in children's backpacks, lunch boxes, and other back-to-school products.
Okay.
The Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, kind of a nonprofit, about a month and a half ago, went into the city of New York and gathered up a bunch of back-to-school supplies, such as backpacks, lunch boxes, and other things. These items are made out of plastic, mostly polyvinyl chloride, what we would call vinyl. And of these items, 75% of them came, when tested, came out with very, very high levels of phthalates. Now, some of us know that phthalates is a controlled chemical under the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, the CPSIA, limited to toys and child care articles. However, there is no such parallel regulation when it comes to non-toy children's products and phthalates. Phthalates have been tested and many, many studies have been conducted over the years indicating that phthalates can alter hormones and the endocrine systems within very small children and infants. And, so they are banned essentially under the federal and some state laws for toys. But there's no regulation to non-toy children's products. And these backpacks and lunch boxes are clearly children's products when they have Disney characters, Dora, Spider-Man, et cetera, imprints on all of them. To give you a few examples, and this is really shocking, the Dora the Explorer backpack came out with 69,000 parts per million in phthalates. The Spider-Man backpack came out with 52,000 parts per million in phthalates. The Disney Princess Lunchbox tested out to 29,000 parts per million in phthalates. Now, the federal limit for toys is only 1,000 parts per million. So why am I talking about this morning? There is some new legislation that is being proposed right now in Washington that's going to impose a toy limit on phthalates to all children's products, including back-to-school supplies. Now, you and I probably think that, back-to-school supplies aren't much of a thing. It's sold once a year. However, children use their backpacks and lunch boxes just as much as they do with toys. And that finger contact, that that constant use will have those phthalates reach their fingers and their skin and be absorbed into their bloodstream. So to me, personally speaking, there's no difference between toys and children's products when it comes to backpacks and things like this. There's also a potential violation of Cal Prop 65, notwithstanding a federal issue here. Now, these items also violate Prop 65 in California. So we as suppliers and distributors need to be very, very cognizant when we're doing anything with vinyl, and especially having to do with children. And so be careful. Just stay on top of it. Have your compliance people just maintain a high level of surveillance on things that are coming across the water from China and your other factories to ensure that these items do comply with the toy standard as a best practice. And that concludes my product safety minute for this week.
All right, great. Thanks, advice Leighton. From Leighton. Thank you so much, and you certainly deserve your finger puppet after that.
Thank you.
We'll make sure that we get those to you.
Have a great week, folks.
Thank you, Leighton.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of product safety and children's products, I know the cover story of the November counselor is going to talk a lot about this, Andy.
Yeah, it explores just that.
Any little tidbit you want to give us?
Well, we talked to people in the industry basically about whether what their kind of forecast is for children's products moving forward. As Leighton was saying, there is a lot of regulations and laws that are in place or being discussed right now. There's almost, some would say an attack on children's products. So people in the industry are questioning whether the whole process is worth it, frankly. So we look at that it's kind of an investigative piece, and it, I think, will open some people's eyes.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing that in the November issue. We're going to take your calls right now, 215-953-4979. Today's topic, how can I make money by selling into the nonprofit market? We know October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There are certainly all sorts of nonprofits with a lot of activities who need promo products and help from distributors. So we have on line two Natalie this morning. Good morning, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Natalie, what's your question today?
Well, I just wanted to know what maybe would be some good ways to get started selling into the nonprofit market. And also, I was wondering if ASI offers any classes on this topic, either online or at trade shows.
Well, for selling, the first thing I would do is volunteer at the nonprofit. I mean, that's going to endear you to them. Give up your time to help them out with their cause. And then that way, not only does it endear you to them, but you're going to meet a lot of other volunteers who might be connected in other businesses. So it could be an avenue to, bigger sales with bigger corporations.
Most of us are already involved in things in our community. Absolutely. So chances are you're probably involved in some nonprofits already.
Mm-hmm.
As far as classes we have at every ASI show, we have live classes on how to get involved with nonprofits, but we also have a couple classes in our online learning center, asicentral.com/online learning, that will give you lots of great tactics for selling to nonprofits. So great. Good luck, Natalie.
Thank you.
And stay on the line for your Visa gift card and your finger puppets.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. On line one, we have Katrina. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
Well, I think I've always kind of shied away from selling into the nonprofit market because I feel like they don't have any money to spend on promotions. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah. You're totally wrong.
But I think people, she's
not
right
to put you down or
anything. People do think that.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, they do have,
there is certainly limited budgets as far as what they're looking to spend on each item. They're not trying to, get the most extravagant things. That's for sure.
No, and they often ask for discounts. I hear distributors saying, hey, we're a nonprofit. Can you give us a break? However, how many millions do nonprofits spend on promotional products?
It's in the billions. I don't have it off the top of my head. But I think it's the fifth most popular market. So there's a lot of money to be had there. I think that that's a myth that they don't have money. Yes, like Melinda said, they might try to squeeze you on price points here and there, but really, what client isn't?
Right.
It's not very different.
I think it's all about working with them. I mean, when you think of all these nonprofit walks or 5K runs, there's T-shirts that have sponsors on.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I mean,
you're going to have to help them find those sponsors for the T-shirts. But there's the events, promoting the events, volunteer gifts, volunteer staff shirts and stuff. Those are things that they're not doing. You need to make them aware of that it's a good thing for them to do. So while you might not have huge margins there, if you spread it out along through a whole program there that, you know, hits volunteers, people participate
in the
events.
Sponsors do pay for a lot of that.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
All right, well, I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, stay on the line for your Visa gift card. We have a Facebook person who wrote in about this topic. Sally Daniel Anderson says, once you've started working with a nonprofit, it seems you get a lot of requests for donations. How else can you contribute without writing a check every time? Is there anything you could suggest to offset the cost of promotional items they may buy through you? For instance, I thought about asking some nonprofits to allow me to include my logo imprint in a small area of their promo item in exchange for some business, etc. What would be the best way to approach that? So are there any ways to creatively, you know, handle these requests from nonprofits to, you know, give a break or to donate? Any ideas?
Well, I think getting your name attached to an event or onto products mm-hmm. is probably the best way. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be their partner, it should probably almost seem like you're a sponsor of whatever event they're putting on. So whether you're actually giving them money or not for that sponsorship, or you're giving them items at a lower cost, you should be receiving something in return. I would suggest that thing in return is your sponsorship, your name and logo on items or at signage at events. You know, you should be known as the provider of these things, not just to that event, but also in your local area.
You know, and I would go back to volunteering and also, you know, make products available. Tell them that they can also sell these things. Not everyone's going to participate in the 5K, you know, walk or run, but people might be lined along the route there and mm-hmm. also want a T-shirt to show their support for, you know, whatever it is. This Friday we have the 3-day walk for the cure. Comes right down our street, and every year we put signs out in front of our house, you know, encouraging all the walkers and stuff, and, you know, positive signs about, you know, breast cancer awareness and treatment and detection and all that. So everyone stops and takes pictures at our house, and then two blocks down there's this big, huge, massive display of support. So
do you hand out water?
We don't, but that would be an idea.
I think that people should be funny with the products that they use. I think sometimes people think that, you know, because it's for a cause, that it's, you know, a serious thing. There's this organization in Austin called Planet Cancer, and their promotional products that they use on their company's website, they can't keep them in stock because they're really funny. It says, like, you know, give the finger to cancer mm-hmm. and crazy sexy cancer diva, things like that, like things right. that you wouldn't expect to see. They cannot keep them in stock.
Yeah, Steve wears a wristband all the time. It says cancer sucks. That's it. He got that at an event.
And then there's those bracelets that are like save the boobies.
Right, yeah.
That are super popular. All right, so good point, Michelle. All right, well, hopefully that helps out Sally Daniel Anderson. We're going to pause for a message from one of today's show's sponsors, and when we return, Kathy's going to tell us what brand names Obama and Romney remind voters of. We'll be right back.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
ASI's Tuesday morning show. We have been talking about making money by selling into the nonprofit market. And on line five, we have Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Joe, what's your question or comment today?
Well, one thing to the last caller about when they're asking for donations, I feel a big thing that I do is include some of the smaller self-promotional items for those events and things like that, that depending on what, you know, relates to the event or thing that they're doing. This way, like I said, it gets my company name out there. And, with this, and they're often happy just to have something that's free.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Good point. All right, great. Well, thanks for calling, Joe. And you get yourself some finger puppets and a gift card. So
right,
stay on the line. All right. Kathy.
Yeah.
Obama and Romney remind voters of different brands.
Right.
Who reminds who of what brand?
Well, this was a survey conducted by Landor, a brand identity firm, and likely voters were asked to associate the two men with brand names in a variety of categories. So let's start with entertainment. As far as magazines and games, Obama, is that what you call me?
That would be both.
Obama was associated with People magazine, and his game was chess, and Romney was Business Week and Monopoly.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially the Monopoly.
Right. So for search engine and social media, Obama is associated with Google and Facebook, and Romney is Bing and LinkedIn. For sport and season of the year, Obama was basketball in summer, and Romney was golf in winter. I don't know why.
Are there reasons? Really play. Are there reasons given for that?
Winter Olympics, you know, in Utah.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be
it. Well, golf is known as kind of a wealthy, you know, old white guy sport. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I play. I'm an old white guy.
So does Tiger Woods. Clothing brand and car. Obama was Nike and Ford, and Romney was Armani and BMW.
Mm. Good for Romney.
Yeah. Coffee and dessert. Obama was home-brewed coffee and apple pie, and Romney was Starbucks and also apple pie. So I guess they both come across as
who came out
apple
with this?
Pie.
Somebody cockamamie.
Landor, a brand identity firm, and pollsters who I can't say their name, so I'm not saying it.
But did they were actually surveying people, or they just
no, they're surveying
decided.
People.
Oh, okay.
This was a survey, legit.
Over a variety of categories.
It was a survey. I don't know how legit.
Okay, one more, Andy.
But aren't the responses kind of predictable? Go ahead.
Yes, they are. So for the spouses, they surveyed them on their department store and their clothing brand, and Michelle was Macy's and J. Crew, and Anne was Saks Fifth Avenue and Ralph Lauren.
Oh, I like Anne better. Though.
Well, that's kind of cheating because Obama, cheating? She dressed herself and all
and
the kids
Crew.
And J. Crew
I
for
know.
The inauguration.
Right.
It was a big deal.
Right.
Big
so
deal.
That's cheating?
So that's it. That's so the very scientific right. survey right there.
It's funny that Obama came out as like the everyman, you know.
Yeah, why is it funny?
Well, I'll tell you why. There we go. Because when they did this in the 2008 election, Obama came off more like Romney comes off here.
Oh,
with the
okay.
more high-end, you know, brands. And McCain came
who
down.
Was, the, oh, yeah.
John McCain, you know.
Yeah, I forgot who was running against him.
It was forgettable.
So it's kind of like it has switched here. You
yeah.
know? Interesting.
Yep.
All right. Funny. Well, Michelle, we talked a little bit about you at the Sourcing City show
yes.
last week. Were there any other tidbits that you gleaned that you'd like to share?
There were. You know, it's interesting how they did the show. Unlike our shows here in the U.S. where there are exhibitors and they have tons of products and the distributors go up and down the aisles and they just ask to be scanned in catalogs, it's an interesting model that they use at the Sourcing City show that I was wondering, you know, is watching it and, you know, would it work here? And what it is that there were barely any products at the event, and its distributors made appointments with the suppliers at 20-minute increments. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I mean, these people, you know, they showed up for their appointments. One supplier I talked to had 60 appointments, 60, 60
wow.
over 2 days. Now, granted, he had a fairly large meeting space. They call them these little pods, these little meeting areas. And he had four staffers with him. But still, 60 top distributors.
Were they as big as like a 10-by-10 booth or smaller?
One of the pods was 10-by-10, so this guy had two.
Okay.
Side by side. But what was interesting is that Sourcing City limited the distributors. It was invitation only, mm-hmm. and you had to do 500,000 pounds in annual sales, which is about, Andy and Joe, help me here with the math.
Joe?
almost $850,000.
Hit it up on Google.
Yeah.
Google.
I think it's $850,000.
500,000 pounds.
So, you know, doing a fairly nice size of business, but that's who was invited. Mm-hmm. And they really, I mean, it was interesting. And everybody loved it because, you know, you didn't just talk about product. It gave the suppliers the opportunity to time the exhibitors who were there to print out all the data that they had about the distributors and sit down with them and talk about their buying history in the past, what they could do with them in the future. And distributors really sat down and came with, you know, specific ideas for mm-hmm. clients. It's just
the concept.
It's a completely different model yeah. than ours, but it was interesting and it seemed to work for
the
them.
Concept is really cool. I think that's what both suppliers and distributors would want at regular mm-hmm. trade shows. That's kind of what's lacking from, you know, just distributors that are passing through, trying to get scanned, trying to get a catalog or whatever it is. You know, those interesting and, you know, fact-finding conversations are normally not there.
You know, they love everything we do here in the U.S. They're so envious of the size of our market and, you know, the creativity in our market. I would say that's the one thing that we could learn from them as far as, you know, sitting down and having these kind of consultation meetings mm-hmm. for 20
minutes. Well, I think it's a good reminder, though, for people who are going to be going to shows in the U.S. this year that you can make appointments with suppliers.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
should. And, you know, start looking at Orlando now and who's going to be exhibiting there, and make your appointments.
Absolutely. Per Vinny, I was kind of close. It's $806,825.
For 500,000 pounds.
500,000 pounds.
So that's the that's sizable.
It
for
is.
Sure.
It is for them, yes. Yeah. And it was also...
So they're appealing clients.
They are. All the top, I would say, all the top distributors in the UK were there, including some who... you know, do business here like for Imprint and Inner Workings. So it's interesting.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Michelle. We're going to pause for a message from another one of today's show sponsors. When we return, Andy's going to talk about the top mistakes people make when using social media.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday morning show. We all use social media. Even Michelle does. She doesn't like to talk about it, but she tweets up a storm. But Andy, what are some of the top mistakes people make when using social media? And you have 1 minute, by the way.
Okay. You just cut me off whenever you want. These are some mistakes that companies make when they implement social media into their strategies. The first one is that it's all about social networking and that doesn't dovetail with other marketing strategies. That's completely wrong. These things need to be integrated as tightly as possible. So Twitter hashtags and Twitter pages and Facebook pages, addresses to these things should be included in regular marketing efforts, and you should make sure that that these things are tied together. The second one is that social media marketing is free. It is not free. It might not cost you actually money out of your pocket for your business.
Time. It costs time.
Oh, jeez.
Why is she yelling at me?
Sorry.
As she said so loudly, it costs time. And it's your people who are taking the time to do it. So factor that in. The third thing I would say is that too many companies don't have clear goals and an ongoing strategy for their social media marketing. Make sure, as I said in the first point, make sure it's integrated with your overall marketing plan and have clear goals for what you're trying to do online on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. Make sure your people know what those goals are and that you're kind of quantifying whether you're reaching those goals on a monthly and quarterly basis.
We have a lot more tips for that, so we're going to put those online at asicentral.com/radio.
And join us today. As I said in the news, Counselor is having a live chat today. If you have any questions about how to use Twitter and how to incorporate Twitter into your business and marketing strategies, join us online at asicentral.com/counselorchat. That's happening at 2 o'clock today. Eastern 2 o'clock Eastern time today.
All right, now it's time for Michelle's favorite part of the show, where editors are going to talk about their favorite products for the week. Kathy. What do you have?
Wow, Kathy just put two fingers together saying, I don't have
Kathy's
one.
Kathy's been at the beach and was not able to.
I'm slowly easing into work.
All right, Andy.
Welcome back, Kathy. Thanks for joining us. I have the Smudge Away, and that is an item that attaches to the back of a phone or a PDA or a tablet, and you can simply peel it off to clean the face of that and take away smudges. So check it out. It's from Inipac USA. That's ASI 62656.
Joe, what do you have there?
I have the Slingshot tripod. It looks like a slingshot, but it's not. This top part here, it cradles an iPhone. It can use other phones like Droids, and the little tripod comes out. You can adjust it, jump in pictures with your friends. But the cool thing about this is that you can take the top off and then attach it to any other phone, digital camera, and you can lay it down, take pictures. It's from Boing Designs. That's 40790, and you can find them at www.boingpromo.com.
All right, and all these products, of course, are on asicentral.com/radio as well. Michelle, bring us home.
mine is from Prime, and it's from their Lehman leather collection. And it's a journal, one of those great leather journals with, like, the parchment paper with the leather cord that ties around the side. It just reminds me of being in Europe, you know, it's something that they would use there. So it's from, again, Primeline, ASI 79530, and it's available in brown and black leather.
All right. Well, we are out of time. Thanks to everyone for listening today, and thanks to today's show sponsors, AIA and ASI Computers. And most importantly, guys, great news. Next week, guess who's going to be on the show? Steve Forbes. He is going to tell us who's going to be president next year, and he's going to tell us how all of our members can have a better year in business in 2013. Steve Forbes is going to be on. I know Kathy's excited. She's going to wear her best outfit. So we'll see you next week, same time, same place with Steve Forbes. Have a great week.